Introducing the Topless Talk Podcast, where we're diving deep into the world of sex and relationships. Join us as we explore the good, the bad, and the ugly, leaving no topic off limits. With your host, Ryan Nickel, we're on a mission to change a million lives through 1,000 episodes. In a world where vulnerability is power, we're not just talking about taking off layers, we're peeling back the layers of real experiences. Our guests, brave women who've walked through the fire, are bearing it all. Their struggles, triumphs, and everything in between. It's more than just stories. It's a roadmap for those who felt alone in their journeys. By sharing their transformation from the horrific to the heroic, these women become beacons of hope for others. Because in every tale of survival lies the potential for someone else's revival. So tune in, listen closely, and remember, Topless Talk isn't just about shedding inhibitions. It's about finding connection in the rawness of human connection. Because when we share, we heal, we empower, and we transform. Welcome to a podcast where every story is a step towards a million changed lives.
Hell yeah.
I feel like I'm a caterpillar who just transformed out of her.
So, welcome. We have a brand new intro, as you know, and this is actually the first time this has ever been played in the studio here.
That is a vibe.
Thank you.
That's a vibe.
Yeah, my goal was, it is still 1,000 episodes to change 1 million lives. That's the fantastic goal that we got.
I like it.
So we have the beautiful Nicole here in the office today, or in the studio. And why don't you go ahead and give the audience an introduction of who you are and what you're about.
Oh my gosh, I'm always so terrible at this, honestly. I'm like, where do I start? I'll just start in a timeline, I guess.
Start with your birthday.
I was born March 2nd, 1990.
Shit, you're young.
Like, holy crap, Nicole.
Wow.
I've lived a lot of life for my short
life. We have a baby in the office today, or they're in the studio.
It's fun, which is funny because all my dancers call me Mama Nikki. So.
Oh, that's so funny. You have dancers?
I do. So I own and operate the Reading Burlesque Club, and that's one of my babies. It's been around for almost... Let's see, this next April will be our 2-year anniversary, actually.
Congratulations!
Thank you.
Wrong one. Oh, shit! Somebody fucking clapping!
You know, it works out because we're hysterically hot, so we
have... Oh, you are? It was supposed to be this one. There we go. That was a
test run.
Party foul, yeah.
You know, it works out because in burlesque, we just, like, roll with the punches.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the pasty pops.
Do they pop off?
Very relevant. Oh my God, do they pop off? Most recently, yeah. She may be mad, but Lux Lethal had a pasty pop. And it was the most glorious moment, I think, ever because it was at the very end and it happened and she's like, and it did. And she didn't notice it. And the whole audience was like,
oh God.
And she's like, why aren't they clapping? And then she noticed and then they all just burst. They're like, yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's so fantastic.
Hysterical. Money started really flying after that one.
Oh, that's so funny. Do you like, I'm just curious, like you have your show, you have your dancers, just like, and you don't have to answer this, but I'm just like, you know, we have wardrobe malfunctions all the time, just so you have like the audience like, come get a surprise. You never know what's going to happen, you know?
No, you know what? Honestly, when it, like, it's literally, I think that's one of the only times it's ever happened. I think there was one other time
where it
popped off, but we do everything we can to make sure, like, those suckers are
on there. Yeah. Because your audience is 18 and over though, right?
It depends on the venue. But we do 21 and over because we like alcohol.
Okay, yeah.
We just don't want to, you know, just
you deal want to deal with it. Exactly. Yeah.
But once in a while, we'll do an 18 and over show. And I mean, again, though, even on the 18 and over show, it's always a good crowd.
Everyone's
well behaved.
I love that. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Awesome. So she has a burlesque studio. What else do you do?
Oh, yeah. So one of my first endeavors, my bigger endeavors, recording, was starting the Reading Mermaids back in 2016.
Oh, God. So go ahead and talk to us. What's the Reading Mermaids?
So the Reading Mermaids.
It's like a baseball franchise.
I know,
the Reading Mermaids!
It's the traveling pod.
Yes.
The pod of mermaids. I started I purchased the tale back in 2016 around the time.
A little bit closer to the mic, just by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. Or you can just.
Sweet.
Yeah, there we go.
Nice. Can you hear me now?
It's like you're kissing it, you know.
Hey.
So, Pot of Mermaids, okay.
So I started mermaiding in 2016. I taught myself how to do it. I'd been performing as a character for kids' parties for a minute. And so I was like, oh, I want a next level. I want a tail. So I got a tail and I was like, oh my God, I'm a natural at this. This is great. And really from there, I just kind of started expanding. I reached out to Fin Fun Mermaid Tails. It's the brand that I had bought.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, like, what do you guys, like, what's the next level? Like,
right, right.
And they're like, we actually have a university, like, what? That you can sign up for. And like, you just have to like.
Do you have to hold your breath for like a certain number of minutes in order to like be a mermaid?
No, not really. Yeah. Not.
You're just like on a rock laying there?
Unless you want to like go for Patty level mermaid. They just recently, the last couple years, Patty came out with an actual like mermaid certification.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I'm working on getting all that done.
Yeah.
But I was like, I've been a mermaid since before Patty decided to put a certificate on it.
Patty's behind the eight ball on this one.
Yeah, they did. That was wise. Okay?
So I'm curious, does Patty have like is there their BC like, I don't know, like seashells, so like it like blends in with like mermaid attire, you know?
I think it's more of like an open water type certificate, like just to like make sure you can dive and like swim and breathe properly and regulate properly.
Yeah.
Because typically as a mermaid, you don't have like the scuba or anything.
Oh,
you're
got
just
it.
Free diving. Oh, okay. Free swimming.
Well, you don't need Patty for that then.
Apparently there's literally a mermaid Patty certificate now you can get. Exactly.
Or they can come to Nicole and get their own certificate.
You can come and just get certified, through Fin Fun University with me. It's like the first step.
Hell yeah. There we go. So what is it? What do mermaids do?
Oh my gosh. Well, a lot of what we do is kind of just community work. Like I kind of personally enjoy grown up mermaids because it's really, it provides a space that not a lot of nerds and weirdos like myself realize that there is to be nerds and weirdos.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what adult, you know, unless you're in the pod or you know of mermaids, like when you hear like you can go swim with other mermaids or you can go be a mermaid and hang out with some mermaids, like what the fuck does that mean?
Really?
Like,
yeah,
it sounds like fucking weird.
Do you like a wig? You wear like a rainbow wig? Or anything?
I do
like,
sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
It depends on the mood.
So, does adult mermaiding mean like, you know, it's topless, like a real mermaid? Like, we'll be
under- sometimes. Yes, we have done topless mermaiding. It really just depends on what the client
wants.
Yeah, what the client wants and what they can.
Oh my God! So if I was gonna have a, like, so for example, Topless Talk has a houseboat. In Oroville, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We have topless parties.
Yes.
We should have mermaids.
Topless like, come mermaids.
Like, topless mermaids. Yeah, like come like serve drinks. Hello.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Well, dude, yes. Oh my gosh. Swimming up. That'd be adorable.
It would be like, amazing. Yeah.
Anybody want their drinks?
Anybody? Hello. Yes. Oh, this is fantastic.
I'm here for this. And that reminds me.
It would be like summer because it's a little too cold right now.
I know. I have to do like a mermaid sushi board next to a fire pit. Keep her warm.
That's right. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. That's another. I mean, mermaids modeling. I kind of do a lot of different things that all intertwine at one point or another.
So burlesquing, mermaiding. What else is in your entrepreneurial bag here?
A lot of entertainment, really. Entertainment and services. And those can cross over too. Like I fire dance and I am an agent for other fire dancers.
Oh God.
So I run a troupe and like I choreograph group routines and like we,
wow.
It's so much fun, honestly.
So because you manage a burlesque studio, you manage other mermaids, it sounds like. You manage fire dancers. Are these all separate women or do you cross-pollinate you're like, you're really good at this. You should also do this as well. Or how do you like
work that? I absolutely cross-pollinate.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. Well, and because all these people are so skilled and like capable and right. so interested in other things too, it's like, why not?
Yeah.
Why not add to everybody's repertoire and like, you know, rub each other's elbows and help each other out? And
that's so fabulous.
It's amazing.
I'm curious, did you come up with all of these ideas on your own or did you have like burlesque and like maybe mermaiding and like another, like one of your gals was like, hey, I also do fire dance. You want to include this? And so like they're bringing ideas to you and you're just growing and expanding because you see the vision of what it could possibly be.
Totally. So I grew up doing stage, like live production, singing, acting, things like that. And then as an adult, I had kids and I was like, okay, I really want to like be more involved with my kids, but also like, you know, not die on the inside.
you're still, I want to be a kid still, please.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not like a mom's mom. I'm not a soccer mom. So it was really hard for me to like
figure myself out. You're a mermaid mom.
Exactly. I'm a mermaid mom. I'm like an extra weird mom.
Oh, no, I mean, that's lovingly that you put that term. I said something I would never say though. I think that's awesome that's what you do.
Thank you. Yeah. So mermaiding or the princess stuff kind of came into play.
Oh, princesses now?
Yeah, so the princesses was kind of like how I kept myself acting and singing and performing while I had kids.
Got it. Okay.
So I could bring my kids.
So this is your PG parties. Aspect.
Yeah, this is the PG aspect. This is where it all began after I had my kids in my early 20s.
All right.
And I found a company where I'm from too that they were like looking for other princesses, and I'm like, oh, this is perfect.
Who's your favorite princess that you love to be?
Oh, that's so hard, honestly, because it's a tie between Elsa and Rapunzel.
Interesting. Okay. So you wear a wig?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Rapunzel's my favorite. She's got this huge, as far as the wig goes, this wig is massive. It's like you have to put it on your arm to
hold,
so it doesn't like pull off your head.
And you sing those same like Disney songs and stuff like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh my 7 gosh.
7 a.m. early morning wake up.
You know it. Oh my gosh.
I have 5 kids.
That's hysterical. That's right. Oh my gosh.
And so I would sing my children songs from the Disney princess movies to sleep at night.
Oh my God.
And I'm not a real singer, but it was like, I pull my guitar. I'm like, like trying to play. I'm like, Dad, that's not the melody. That's not how it goes. And I'm like,
They're just shooting you down. I'm like, just
arrows. I'm like, it's okay. I still love you.
You're trying so hard. You even got the guitar. I can't do it. I'm not great on instruments. Yeah. I'm like, 7 a.m. the usual morning lineup.
Look at this voice. Oh my God.
Starting the chores and sweep till the floor is all clean.
I love this. This is
you can just
beautiful.
See the glowing hair starting.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Oh my gosh, I can even hear like, do you want to build a snowman or ride our bikes around the hall?
Elsa, you there? That's so beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love this. So this is, Nicole, you have so many, gifts and talents. I'm afraid to ask what else you do.
I know, right? So I'll just get back to the timeline there, how it kind of started.
Yeah.
So it was the princessing led into another company, which kind of led me into like wanting to get back into just management because I wasn't super happy with how they were managing the younger actresses.
Right.
And so I was like, I'm just going to go back on my own and work. And so from there, it was the mermaids. And then from the mermaids, it was photography because I was like, I need really good photos of all my girls and all my girls.
Yeah.
And I'd been modeling since.
So are you the photographer? Or?
I am the photographer.
Oh, okay.
I'm a photographer. I'm just getting into videography.
I love this.
It's so fun, honestly, because I have models and mermaids and all these people.
It's so needed, too. Like, you almost have, like, you have a virtual market. Like, why not have, like, everything that you're going to need in-house? Because why not? I mean, if you have the studio and the productions and everything, and you can control it all, you can control the quality, you can control. I've heard this as well with models. I interviewed a model, and she was telling me just how slimy and sleazy the industry is. It's like, I'll take your pictures, but you have to sleep with me if you want to have a copy of them. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, that exists? And she's like, it's everywhere.
The sleazy, slimy ones are out there, and that is... I won't go too into detail because I try and stay polite and professional, but...
No, of course, for sure. But this is also like, red flags.
It is red flags. Yeah. Yeah, because there's guys out there who do take, who do really take advantage of situations. And you asked me earlier, how did I come about burlesque and start? And so mermaiding, photography, and I was really getting back into modeling the last 10 years. And so that's led me to meet photographers. And so one of my regular models that I'd been shooting, her name is Baby Jane LaBelle.
Okay.
Amazing burlesque dancer. Shout out.
Hello, Baby Jane.
Hey, Baby Jane LaBelle. She's fabulous. Singer. She's a DJ. She owns her own karaoke business.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. She's another go-getter, skills, right?
Well, I mean, you just have this vibrant energy and you're just going to attract other, amazing individuals too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we each help put each other out there in the right ways. And just all good.
Oh, stuff. I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. But so she called me up. I'd been on the road over in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I was training models in Texas for underwater photography. I was training models for underwater photography.
Gotcha.
Because I'm experienced in modeling underwater.
Okay.
And so I got to drown pretty people for fun for a day.
We're going to start with waterboarding. Here we go.
Yeah. Here we go. All right. Smile.
I would imagine that would be very difficult because you have to get the right shot and hair goes everywhere.
It does.
So you need to
have to really know how to move your head just a little bit enough and flick the brows because that can literally just enough will move your hair out of your
head. Brow.
Just imagining that.
Really?
I only want to move that part of my face and then your hair will go.
Oh, that's such amazing.
Little motions can save your face.
That reminds me on Wicked where she's like, no hair, no hands, toss, toss.
Yes.
That's what that reminds me
of. Yes, the toss, toss.
Yeah, so I would never have thought subtle movements would have such basically the ripple effect underwater.
Huge.
Oh, interesting.
One thing when I'm training people, I'm like, don't move your feet, please. Don't move your feet unless you absolutely have to. If you have a lot of fabric, don't move your feet much. Unless you want to look like you're drowning and you want to drown.
I'm a swimmer and it's interesting because when I'm training swimming, you actually really don't, kicking is just for buoyancy. Like your real power comes from your arms and your
totally
stroke. And so your hands, even when I dive, like as a scuba diver, like kicking your feet really doesn't really do much a whole lot for you.
Not until you have a mono fin on. Then once you're in mermaid mode, man, that's like all core and leg.
You can
literally just like lead with your face like a horse in the water.
Oh, that's so crazy.
And you are propelled with those things.
Yeah.
With the ball.
I love that.
But yeah, so I'm coming back from Texas from training some models, and baby Jane hits me up. She's like, hey,
I just want to interrupt you one more time.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you keeping the direction and the flow.
I try so hard.
Well, no, because like that's usually what I do, and like I usually always bring it back, but you're just like bringing it right in. So like I appreciate that. You're a really good interviewer.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, or interviewee, however you want to call it, you know.
Pro ADHD train track.
Train track. So coming back from Texas.
I love it. All right, train track number 4.
Switch.
Come back from Texas. Baby's like, hey, there's this photographer in town that I know from when I was younger, and he's passing through. He rented an Airbnb, and you should totally come shoot with him. He's cool. And I was straight with her. I was like, honestly, I'm exhausted, and I usually don't shoot for free with just anybody. Like, I'm at the point where, like, can he at least pay me, like, $25-$50 for my time?
Not
asking a lot. And she's like, I'll see what he says. And, like, we chatted. And it basically was like a no, and I love baby, and I was like, I am driving by, fuck it.
All right, I guess.
20 minutes of my time, check on her, test, like, see who this dude is. Like,
right.
Because this is one of my models, one of my friends, too. Like, I want to make sure I'm looking out for her, too.
Well, yeah, you know, it's you know, the mama protection, you know, coming in.
Exactly where they got my nickname from.
Yes.
Because it's just my natural thing, and I've been in the industry for long enough to where it's just my, it's my mama nature. I just want to make sure, like, who the fuck is this dude? Like, flying through town, taking pictures of my friends and my girls. Like, so I went there, and he was kind of creepy at first. But I also deal with people who are creepy, but they're not creepy.
I would imagine just because of the, like, you know, with the burlesque, with the mermaids. I mean, it's going to be hard to have, like, that element of individual. Like, for example, I had a guest on here, and she does topless house cleaning. And she actually rolls up with a bodyguard.
Hell yeah.
And she's like, he's just here for my protection. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, for sure, whatever. And she's like, you wouldn't believe the amount of men that have hired me to clean the house only to just have some pleasures done.
It's crazy.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, for me, like, that is so foreign to me.
The expectation is nuts.
Yeah. And I'm like, just because her thing was, because I gave you money, therefore I deserve it.
No.
And I'm like, that's bullshit. But anyway, so you...
That's crazy.
So some people have creepy vibes, but sometimes that just might be who they are. They're not really creeps, you know?
Exactly. They're just a little odd. Like, they're just a little awkward. Yeah. They're just a little, like, quirky. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have friends that are just quirky, but they don't really, they don't mean harm. They're just quirky.
They're harmless. They're just
creepy, odd.
Yeah, socially awkward, for sure.
They're just a little lurky.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they're not. They just are. They're not.
It's so funny because, like, on my TikTok, I have, like, I do a lot of boob readings. And I have the TikTok, and I get so many dudes that are like, bro, this is dumb. This is so moronic. And I'm like, hey, thanks for stopping by. And then the next comment from the same guy was, do you need an apprentice?
Like, so after some much needed research, I actually am very intrigued by that.
I was like, what the hell, dude? Like, for real? Like, you just came on to lurk, and then you're like, oh, well, hey, do you have a, I see you have several videos here. Do you need a, like, a light, someone to hold the lights for you or something like that?
Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, you went to this guy's Airbnb.
Oh yeah. So we go to this Airbnb. The girls are all set up. The makeup artist has her shit everywhere. Like in this one spot. I was like, okay, where am I supposed to set up? So I set up and I was like, you got me for like 20 minutes. So we shot. It was okay.
What kind of shots were they?
It was like boudoir.
Boudoir. Kind of vibe. I was thinking,
He kind of had a pinup vibe for one of the girls. So I walked in. I didn't know what was going on. I had
cool.
a suitcase full of just like
anything.
Random stuff from shooting Texas. So I'm like, I mean, just pick something. I don't
know. Ready to go. Point. Let's go. Yeah.
Exactly. I was just ready to go. And so we shoot. I leave. And then the next day he's like, oh, nothing turned out because I used a new lens. And And I'm like, you're a professional and nothing turned out.
Right.
And he sent me like one shot, I think, one or two shots. And I was like,
interesting.
I'm like, dude, like, is this serious right now? And I'd just gone through something very similar actually with another photographer about 6-7 months before.
But hang on, like, just like slow this down for the audience. Like, nothing turned out. This is not the day and age of like, I got to go to the studio. I got to go to the dark room and I got to develop the film. Like, oh, I'm sorry, it didn't come out. Like, I'm a photographer.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I went to college as one of my electives was photography, and I loved it. Like, I did tons of black and white, and like, I developed this shit, and I loved it. I have a professional camera. I'm sorry, it's just like an iPhone. You take the picture and it shows up right there.
Yep.
You're not going to go through, I don't know, like hundreds of, like, you know, maybe, I don't know how many did, 50, 100, and be like,
he clicked enough.
Yeah, I'd be like, and not look. I mean, because usually what happens is like you click, you check the lighting, you click some more and you check the lighting, you see that it's working. Mm-hmm. So this is like red flag number one. I mean, you as a professional know this, but for those of you that might be wanting to get into modeling, first off, you should probably want to like talk to her and do some consulting because she knows what she does.
Seriously. This was a lesson for me. This person was definitely a lesson for me. Because I was kind of going through, I was just going through a phase of life, and I'm coming out of that phase of life now where I was vulnerable and I was just like going through the beginning of a divorce and just in a place. And that's what I realized recently in the last 7 months is like, that's what he does, is he looks for people who are in those places.
So,
or really bad mental places to take advantage of them in a way.
Oh God, you know, so
in a really manipulative way.
Yeah, yeah. So in the sexual healing practice that I have, some of the women that come, so one of the things that we do is we help them release the trapped trauma that they have from past relationships and trapped negative energies. Because what happens is those unconsciously are attracting individuals like this. They know, it's like a sixth sense for them. They're like, oh fuck, like predator vibes, basically. They're
legit.
Like, I recognize there's this person is quote unquote broken, and I can definitely take advantage of this person. And and it happens all the time. And so it's so important for us to like strip that shit out so that they can now approach like relationships with like a healthy, beautiful, clean, like open heart without like these negative energies, like attracting the wrong kind of guy.
Energy is so real. It's so real.
It is. And so, yeah, there are men that are like that, that they see that, I can take advantage of this. So continue with your story. I'm curious how he like decides to like weave his magic.
I chose to be too naive. I should have listened to my gut, and I chose to be naive.
That's
because
a huge thing, listening to your gut.
Yeah. But like, I take the responsibility that is my responsibility in the whole situation.
That's very empowering, by the way.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So he hit me up and was like, nothing really turned out. I was like, okay, well, you're gonna have to pay me to shoot me again. He's like, oh, well, what if we like trade this and this and this? I was like, well, my trade worth it. I can't even remember what it was, honestly.
Okay.
I think he was like, oh, I'll do a video and like, what was it? Because the burlesque club didn't exist yet.
Okay, I gotcha.
So what was I doing at the time? Oh, God, I cannot remember, honestly.
Princessing.
Probably. Yeah, right. He's like, oh, I'll help you boost something. He was very good with his words.
Okay.
Very serpent tongued, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Most narcissists are.
Oh man. Ugh,
and they'll love on you. They're like, oh, you're the greatest model I've ever seen. I haven't seen someone as beautiful as you. Like, you just have such a look for the camera. Like,
yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. One of my biggest projects, I had started doing the water box, was the whole concept.
Mm-hmm.
And he had looked online and everything, and he was like, oh, like I want to help you like build that up. And I think that was it. Was like, because that was my big thing, right? At that time.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a little irrelevant. So I agree to go shoot again. I go shoot and we just start talking and like just chatting about business. And he's kind of interviewing me about my skill set. Right. And I'm chatty Kathy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a
yeah.
Nice day out. Like it was just a good day. And so I'm chatting while we're shooting and he gets like the 411 on Nicole.
Yeah.
And by the end of this, he's like, you know, do you know what burlesque is?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, actually, I've never even seen the movie. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
I'd never
Moulin Rouge, like yeah.
I'd seen Moulin Rouge, so okay. That was where we like he related it to. I was like, oh, okay, like that's kind of cool. I've always been, you know, I'm a stage person, like that's my background, and I sing and blah blah blah. And he's like, well, you know, I helped put together a burlesque club up in Bend, Oregon.
Okay.
Did
he really?
Exactly. Did he really? I need to do some research
like,
there.
I drove by and I took a picture of the outside building. And
yeah,
so
I went in with my camera. And
yeah.
Creeped around a little bit. No, I can't attest to any of that. I haven't talked to the right
people.
It's
just fun, yeah.
But yeah, so he claimed to have like helped start the Ben Burlesque Club. And he was like, you know, you have the perfect skill set to start a burlesque club. And I was like, well, I guess you're right. Like, I do. And within like 4 days, I had a troupe together. I had rehearsal scheduled.
Yeah.
I had done enough research to know what the hell I needed to do to start the business.
Yeah.
And we did. And then like in 25 days, we had a show. And we sold out and we had to turn people away at the door.
I love this. So, you know what I really love about this, though, is like the silver lining of like, you know, how like a situation that could have gone like awry turned into something very beautiful in a whole different direction for your life.
It did. It did. Yeah. It did. There's a positive and a weird, like, not a negative necessarily. It was just like a bump.
Yeah, yeah, for
like
sure.
An ugly bump.
Yeah.
And so this photographer behaved like a business partner at first. Like he helped, he put money down and then I ran everything and like,
yeah,
I made the show and the girls did the made the show and like we made the show.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to do like video and the photography and everything, but like over time he wasn't like
participating.
He just wasn't pulling his weight.
Got it.
And
yeah.
We communicated about it and he wasn't just pulling his weight. And then I would find out later on that he was like hitting on some of the dancers, which is a no-no.
Yikes.
Yeah. And yikes. I was letting him live at my house. So like,
oh, whoa, dude, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh yeah. I forgot to mention.
Were you guys hooking up? I gotta clean this over here now.
No, I know. That's right. I'm sorry. We gotta get an upholstery cleaner out here.
I actually did, by the way. She cleaned this probably a little bit a while ago.
No, I'm gonna need her number for mine because mine needs a
Oh, she's one. Fabulous. Yeah, she's here in town. But anyway, so okay, you weren't hooking up with this guy.
No.
Just let him sleep at your house.
So technically at this point, me and my husband are still like together.
Okay, gotcha.
And so, but yeah, we're letting him crash at our house at this point while I'm building this business and this guy's like helping me build this business, but he's really just kind of mooching.
So he had money to put down, but he didn't have a place?
I know.
This is crazy.
It sounds insane. But I'm such a fucking giving heart. It's crazy. But
that's not a bad thing, though.
I know. So it could have panned out, but he wasn't. He just didn't.
It's all about boundaries.
It is. I tried to set them.
Yeah. Well, it's not even setting them. So there's two things, major things that I always like to work with my clients about boundaries is that you want to properly one. So one, you want to properly define them. And then once they're defined, you want to properly defend them. So people are either horrible at defining the boundaries, or if they're really good at defining them, they're not so good at defending them.
Yes.
What we call pushovers.
Yep. And I can have a tendency to be a pushover once in a while if I'm just if I haven't had enough water that day, if I'm hangry, fuck, man, just catch me at the wrong time of the day and I haven't had a snack.
Yeah, my kids know that timing as well. They're like, oh, dad's a little low energy right now. Air. Yeah.
Blood sugar's low. It's like a dog.
Like I come home like a bit tired. Hey dad, why don't we just go out to dinner tonight? I'm like, that's a great idea. I don't want to cook.
We're suckers for that one. Seriously, oh my gosh. I know. Yep.
All right. So this guy took advantage and you...
So yeah, it's a little bit, some things happened with one of our performers.
Oh God.
Yep. And so I was like, bro, we're done. I'm cutting ties. I got this. Like, here's your money. You're bought out. You're good. Like, I got it. So I've been running it on my own since last December.
I love that for you.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, no, I'd say on my own, but like the team, like my dancers and my kittens.
This is your show though. I mean, you have no one that you're beholden to. You can go ahead and go the direction you want to go and...
No, we have. That's gone beautiful. Now as far as Arcata and Tehama County. Like, it's really exciting.
I love this. Yeah. This is fantastic.
But yeah, so the burlesque club's been kind of the big hitter for me. And that's how that started. And then with that, I kind of put the mermaids on the back burner the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
But then I revamped it and we had our mermaid festival last month over at the Aquatic Center. So we had the Great Mergration.
Oh my God.
In Redding, California.
That's so rad. So this is, I just love your creativity. What's the next big project that's on the horizon for you?
I have some, actually several things are in the works. So we're bringing some dance nights to Redding, some underground dance nights. I'm working.
What does that mean? Underground dance nights?
So, Redding's dance scene is awesome. It's very consistent.
Okay.
We just need more. I feel like, I feel like we need a little bit more variety, maybe some lady power.
So I just want to throw this out there. I don't know if this is something that she would even be open to doing. But there is a woman that I know up in your area that does, tribal dancing, like Indian tribal dancing. She just got back from Joshua Tree and did a whole weekend retreat ceremony with her, shaman or her chief there.
Is her name Amy?
No.
Okay. That was going to be really funny.
Yeah. But it does start with an A. I'll tell you offline afterwards. Yeah. So she hit me up. She actually hit me up for a boob reading. She's like, hey, I'm having some troubles with my relationships and I found your information online. Can you do this? And I gave her a reading and she was like, oh my God, like, fuck, like we need to meet.
Heck yeah.
And then that's when I found out this is what she does. So when she was traveling down to Joshua Tree, that's when she hit me up and I was just like, so yeah, I mean, it's something different. I think that she would be open to it. I don't know if it's like, I don't know. This is kind of a tough situation where you probably would need to fill it out with her. Like, I don't know if the spiritual aspect of it wants to be commercialized or not, or maybe it's something that could bring, awareness to the artwork that she does. And she's really good at it too.
Heck yeah. I'm down for it. And I love collabing.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll share her information with you.
Excellent.
And she, like I said, she's up your way. So
I'm trying to remember where we were now. I lost the train track.
No, so we were, no worries. So it was the underground dancing in Reading.
Oh, yes, yes. I have been making some connections the last few months and some new friendships with some DJs and up-and-coming DJs around the North.
Well, you have your gal as a DJ as well, so you have one of your dancers is a DJ.
Yes, yes. So yeah. Baby Jane LaBelle is a DJ.
Baby Jane, that's right.
Actually, two of my dancers are DJs.
Hell yeah.
Yes. So Nico Miracle, she actually is located here in Sacramento.
Oh my God, I love these names.
I know, right?
Baby Jane, and then we have Nico Miracle.
Yeah, let me just throw them all out there. Here we go. Yeah, and I'll try and remember every... Oh God, I'm so sorry if I forget somebody.
Oh man.
I should start at the very top of the North State. Okay, we have Misleading up in Arcata.
Misleading?
Misleading.
Oh God, I love
she's
that.
She's fantastic. Misleading.
Don't let me mislead you, but...
But she's misleading.
I love that.
So yeah, you're misleading. And then we have Petite Felicity down in Arcata as well.
Oh, man.
Fantastic performer. And then over in Reading, we've got Pixie Paradox.
Oh, God, these names.
And she's a mischief manager, Pixie Paradox.
What's a mischief manager?
She really fucks with me when I'm emceeing.
Okay.
So I will be in the middle of a show.
So she'll heckle you.
That little bitch.
I love that.
Yeah, she's a heckler. She's a hot heckler too.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. That's so fun.
So yeah, so she's our mischief manager. The mischief management comes because she's obsessed with Hogwarts and all things Harry Potter.
Okay, for sure, definitely.
So it just really just unfortunately for my ass.
I was going to ask if she was like a fairy with like, you know, being a
she does do a pixelated like the wing routine. Yeah. She does.
I was wondering. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the vibe that I have with her name. So
it is. She's the pixel queen. So she's got a sexy little whip she does.
Oh, damn.
Pixie pixels.
Yeah.
Pixie and her pixels. Yeah, that whip is... It fucking stabs you, man. It's sharp. Those shit. Things.
Does she like take those like pixie sticks right before a show and just sugar high?
That would be the funniest shit ever, actually. Oh my gosh. You're good. Yeah. I'm going to ask her to fucking fake sniff pixie sticks.
Yes.
Next next Halloween. We might have a Halloween show. And she was asking, what should I do? I was like, oh my God. This
pixie
is great.
Stick sniffing.
Pixie stick sniffing. Like she could be trick or treating and she walks out and she just like busts one open and lines it. Yes. Pops up some wings after.
Oh my God.
Sniff.
Like, oh, that'd be awesome. Yes.
This is how our meetings go for burlesque because we just sit there coming up with
just shit
like
all. Yeah. This
we
is
do.
So, oh, I loved it. This is,
this is half of my life.
This is basically what a show is like here in the
it.
Studio. Yeah.
It's so good. So, yeah. Pixie Paradox.
All right.
Lux Lethal.
Oh, wow.
She's got a massive following on social media. Shit. Lux, she's a pinup model. Just,
oh, fuck.
She's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Great character on stage.
I would imagine all these are just big personalities in
they
general.
Are they yeah. are Starfire, she's my beautiful hippie.
Oh, nice.
Starfire. And then we have Little Miss Lunacy.
Okay,
you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of our weed smoking hottie totties. It's hysterical.
I got a question for you real quick. Yeah. No, actually, I'll finish all the names. I don't want you to forget anybody, and I'm gonna ask you a question.
No,
again.
You're good. Cat Dolly, Venus Vixen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I'm forgetting some of them already. I can tell. Emerald Rain.
Blame It on Me.
Blame It on Me. That's a song. About.
I thought I was actually mainly even. I thought I was going to lip sync it for you. Oh no, it's Blame It on the Rain.
Blame It on the Rain.
Yeah, they lip synced that. Remember, Blame It on the Rain.
Oh my gosh, all the songs that I could think of right after this.
Yes.
And then we've got Lady Garnet down in Sacramento, and then we work with the Heel-esque troupe when we want to do really mm-hmm. big shows. So that's Gypsy Day and like all 8 to 12 of her performers.
Yeah.
So
I got
a good performer.
I have a question for you. Yes. So one of my very first sexual healing clients up in the Reading area is a single mom and has an amazing like body personality. Has gone through a huge transformation of just loving herself. And she didn't like reach out, but she's like, hey, do you have any ideas of what I could possibly do to like support my children, but still like enjoy my sexuality?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would love to do that. I'm not going to say go be a dancer somewhere, like mm-hmm. a dancer. But I was like, shit, I may be able to like put you in touch with her.
Oh
like,
my God. Yeah. We have burlesque classes on Tuesdays from 6 to 7 at Kiss Me Novelties in Reading.
Cause you can just teach her right then and there.
We can.
God, she is such a beautiful person. Like, I think you would definitely love her.
Burlesque is so amazing because it's like a community, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, once you're in the burlesque community, you can dip out if you need a break. You can come back in. Like,
I'm definitely, because she comes to mind right now, and I'm just thinking, I'm like, I mean, she's not a huge personality. She's kind of reserved, but I think that that's just because of the trauma that she's gone through.
This helps you to touch base with a side of you that I you agree. Don't even realize that you have.
Yes.
It,
and I definitely see that because she reaches out every once in a while. And she's just like, hey, I'm holding on to this beautiful feeling that I have from the healing. And I have a lot of men that are asking me to be with them, but I automatically sense that they don't see my worth. And I know what my worth is now that I've gone through this process with you. And so she just like, I constantly see her like trying to find, I don't know how to say it without, you know, demeaning her journey, but she's like, she's trying to find, you know, her voice in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this I don't want to speak for her, but I think it might be a great, you know, thing for her to explore.
It is. It's just a good, honestly, in my opinion, it's just good to try it.
Plus you're a good mom. And I think that that's kind of what she needs a little bit of.
Most of my dancers are moms.
Yeah. Well, she's a mom too, but I mean, I mean, you like in general, you have that mom vibe.
Oh yeah.
That you would protect her.
Come under my wing.
Yeah. You'd be like, you'd be like, that guy's no good for you, honey.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. That's one part I love about this whole group that's come together is like, we're a family and we all kind of like, we have our meeting, we get shit done.
Yeah.
And then we have about a half hour to bullshit, catch up, talk about shit like that. And we call each other out. Like everyone's making sure it's good.
I love that. So I'm going to give you the tribal dancer.
Yes. Your
information afterwards, and I'm also going to give you this client's information.
Heck yeah.
As well. Yeah.
Let's connect.
For sure, definitely. Anything else about that?
Oh my goodness. We have shows coming up every month.
Oh yeah, let us know. How do we get a hold of you? Like, how do we know when a show is going to happen?
You can follow the Reading Burlesque Club page. The Reading Burlesque Club. Or you can look at my overall company is Ask Nicole Photo and Productions.
Ask Nicole Photo and Productions.
Yep.
Now, is Nicole like the traditional spelling? There's like a million ways to spell Nicole.
It's a ASK and then NIKKOLE.
Oh, I'm so glad I asked because I wouldn't have thought that.
I kind of just derived it from Nikki. Nikki comes with two K's.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just kind of slurred my name together with it. Nicole.
Was that one of those like drunken nights? You're like, ask Nicole. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly. And then,
like, no, I'm kidding.
sometimes that's when good material happens is when you're drinking with good friends.
That's right. Yeah. You're like, hey, pass me that doobie. Oh my God.
Every day. I'm like, there's a beautiful circle of the burlesquers where we will absolutely sit there, smoke, and just chief it and think about the most cool things to happen.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, so that's what we do sometimes on the Topless Talk boat.
Excellent.
Yeah, we'll go out there, have a little bit of little mushroom therapy. And
oh my God, I love it.
Yes.
My girl makes these gummies that are like perfect. They're the cutest little teddy bears.
For real. It's little teddy bears. So when I did ayahuasca, the dude that I did it with in the Bay Area, he manufactures his own, they're actual like capsules, like pills.
Dope.
And I'm like, I have really, really high tolerance. I'm like, this is cool. He's like, start with my microdose because it's a little bit more potent than you would think. And I'm like, microdose? I don't really need a microdose.
Oh, I got this.
It fucking floored me. I was like, oh my God. And so his microdose was called Uplift. His like full dose is called Liftoff.
Oh shit.
And I purchased his Liftoff.
Like, Takeoff?
Like Liftoff. Yeah. I'm like, shit. Like, so I haven't had the balls to actually try it because I'm just like, shit, his microdose shit was so powerful. I was like, oh my God. And my wife was like, she's like, oh my God, like, we're going to land anytime soon.
Oh my God.
I'm just like, I don't know.
Starting to get the hot sweats.
Yeah. It was a beautiful, like, you know, like my body vibrates when I'm doing this. And, I didn't get the psychedelic experience like I did with like ayahuasca, but his stuff was like really good. So I'm interested in trying your friend's gummies.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never had like the psych out. I've never experienced a psych out.
Ayahuasca did that for me. I had so many beautiful visions. In fact, that's where I got the idea to do sexual healing.
Really?
Yeah, I literally had this vision open up to me and it was just, basically in a nutshell, not to like, you know, belabor the point, was I had this line of women of all shapes and sizes, all ethnicities. And they were walking up to me one by one. Some of them with tears, some of them giving me hugs. And they're just like, continue on the path that you're going. You're almost there. You're going to find the solution to help us. And they're like, please don't give up. We need you. And I'm like, what does this mean? This is before I ever decided like to do like sexual healing. And I was like diving deeper into it. And I'm like, what is this? And then it just basically showed me, it was like the path that you're on. So I was on my own healing journey. It was like, once you discover how to heal yourself from your sexual trauma, you'll be able then to share it with the world. And I literally just dove into it, went back to school, got an education on it, and started practicing with my wife. We have an open relationship, started practicing with the other women I was with. And like, they're like, oh my God, like,
this is cool.
This weight that I had is gone. Like, I feel free. Like, I feel like I got a renewal on life. And I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm just figuring this stuff out. And so that's when I went back to school. But that was the vision that gave me the permission to like dive into it. And that was about 2 years ago.
I literally feel like this should like be a, you should, we should reproduce your vision in a video.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying, I feel like we should do this. This sounds kind of cool. Like I saw the whole thing as you were like,
yes.
I was like so in it with you. I was like almost spacing out, like watching it. And I was like, this would be so rad to recreate. Oh,
it was such a beautiful experience. Like I will never forget it.
I have all the models that'll stand there naked in line. I'm just saying, and they'll love you and cry. And like, this would be so cool. They're actors too.
I will actually do that with you.
I'm like, this would be so cool.
It would be.
I'm in producer mode. Like my brain, I literally created 2 scripts while I was gone this week in LA. I was hippieing around. I've never done this before either.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird last week. But yeah. Oh my God.
I would totally do that. And I would either pay your models or I would complimentary, give them boob readings or whatever they want. Something like that, you know? Whatever, like to just compensate for that. I think that would be such a beautiful thing because that is. So as you saw it, that's how I felt it, like, yes. When I was going through it. And I was crying. I was like, oh my God, this is like, you have to understand, Nicole, like I came from the most conservative Mormon background.
Oh, dang. Like, I missed that.
I never told you this.
No.
Yeah. So my audience knows this, but like, yeah, I grew up extremely conservative. Like I was a virgin when I got married at 23.
Whoa.
And like, that was like on my wedding night, I was with my wife who wasn't a virgin. She had been with multiple men.
Mm-hmm.
And so she ended up leaving me 3.5 years later. And her biggest comment was like, I should have never married a virgin. This was a mistake. I can't teach you what you don't know.
Oh my God.
My other lovers always pleased me. You never pleased me, which is true. I never did. I didn't know how to please my wife.
I feel so related and bad at the same time because my third husband and I kind of went through that.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't a virgin, but he was very inexperienced. I was like, I don't know how to handle this anymore. I don't know.
I didn't know what I didn't know. And of course she had been with men that knew and they had pleased her. And so like for her, it's like, what
she
are you doing?
Teach you.
Yeah. And so like, you know, literally it was like once a month we would have sex.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. And so I was supplementing my desire for sex with porn. And that was like too much for her too. She's like, oh God, this disgusts me. I can't believe you're choosing porn over me. And I'm like, well, porn never says no. So.
Yeah. No shit though. Right. Neither does my hand.
Yeah. So I'm just like, let's go. I can go all night, you know, I'm sandpaper raw, you know? And so she left me and then that was it. And then my second marriage was, again to point in time, I'm like, I'm not marrying for love. I want to have a family. All the qualities I had were just motherly qualities. And so I married a beautiful, beautiful mother. And we have 5 beautiful kids together. She's still a great co-parent of mine. But when it came time to like sex and compatibility, it was better than once a month. It was once a week. But here it is.
I'm still over here. Like, are you traveling? Are you not home? Is someone working away from the house?
No, I'm home every day. Oh my God. I work from home.
I can't.
But I'm just like very faithful. But I mean, now I'm in a beautiful partnered relationship. But we have an open relationship. But I mean, we're like, I mean, shit. It was this morning at 4 a.m. She woke me.
Get
up.
She's
like, hey, are you awake?
Yes.
So we had that. But we also went to bed at 11 o'clock last night and had sex before that too. So I was like.
It's like, yes.
Yeah,
it's like that's what we're talking about.
And this was after we went on a date with another woman. So we had we went on a date to see if we were gonna have a threesome, but it didn't pan out. The vibe wasn't there.
But you still like went out and you kinda like had your like little fun tete-a-tete thing going on. Yeah. Get to feed off of it a little bit. Oh my gosh, how fun.
Yeah, I love my life now. But going back to my marriage though, like once a week, and so like I'm 41 years old and I'm like, hey, I just started the Topless Talk Show because I love boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't, right? They're beautiful,
and
right?
If you don't, like, that's a serious conversation you need to have with a therapist. Something wrong.
Well, so for me, like, the Topless Talk Show came from going to the river. So I lost 50 pounds.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. I just felt great about myself. And one of my ways of self-love was to actually just get naked in nature. And so I did that up in Grass Valley. And there were so many beautiful women up there. And we're just chilling like this, conversations, just completely naked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no arousal on my part. And I'm like, whoa. I literally went home and like that cold turkey, just stopped looking at porn. Because all of a sudden I'm like, that's fake. This is real. I want to be around what is real.
Yes.
And so it's been like 3 years since I've looked at porn and like, you know, jerked off. And when it got cold though, kind of like right now, like October, I started going through withdrawals. And I literally had a dream, and in the middle of the night, it was actually like 3 a.m, I woke up, and the idea was like, bring the river to me. And I was like, well, how do I do that? And then I was like, create a topless talk show.
Oh my God.
And that's how Topless Talk was born. And so I told my wife at the time, I'm like, I'm going to create a topless talk show. She's like, who's going to do that? What her response was, what self-respecting woman's going to get topless on your show? And I'm like, probably none. And then I had like, within like a week, I had 4 shows and they're all topless.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But the show grew from like, you know, Ryan wanting to see boobs to like, there's actually some like there's some like stories that are being told here with women that are like very like educational.
There's soul to it.
Yeah.
There's soul to it.
There's a lot of soul. And so they would, a couple of the guests afterwards are like, oh my God, this was so healing for me just to be able to voice what had happened to me. And I'm like, that's it. This is not about me anymore. This is bigger than that. But on the show, there are a couple of times where we're talking about sex and relationships. I'm trying to like work through my relationship at the time. And a lot of these women are like, oh yeah, we have sex all the time, multiple times a week, sometimes, you know, every day. And I'm always giving my husband blowjobs. And I'm like, what? A blowjob? Here I am.
What's that?
41 years old.
What is
that? I've never had a blowjob. Yeah. And so I go and I ask my wife, I'm like, hey honey, can I have a blowjob? And she's like, that's not something that we do. And I'm like, okay.
That's a hard conversation ender right there. That's very like.
It was like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I love this woman. And I'm like, and so the more I go through this, I'm like, well, it seems like this is like kind of like a rite of passage for men to at least experience once. Can I have a hall pass? And she's like, no, we're Mormon. We don't do that. We're completely monogamous. And so anyway, long story short is like, and she had never listened to the show. And so finally one day she actually listened to the show. It's probably like, I don't know, 15 or 16 episodes into it. And she's like, I listened to your show today. I'm like, girl, how was it? She's like, it was a real treat. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, like this is because I've been pouring my heart into it. She's like, no, it was disgusting and repulsive.
Oh my God.
And I am disgusted by you. And if you think you're going to have sex with me anytime soon, you need to really rethink this because it's going to be a very, very long time before I let you touch my body again. And I was like, oh, okay. And that was I date my wife weekly. I know, like pick your jaw off the ground.
I'm like, what the hell? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I date my wife weekly, and I also date my family weekly. So we go on family dates, and that was a family date night.
Like really afraid here. It's like,
okay. No, you're fine. And so we were actually walking out the door when that happened. And so I sucked it up like a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went ahead and excuse me. And we went to the movies. We were actually going to go see it was Uncharted. With Tom Holland, my oldest daughter had a crush on Tom Holland at the time, so we went and saw Uncharted, and I was just like, I was like, thank you for telling me, I appreciate your honesty, it really does really does help me. And the night before, we had actually had a talk on our way back from Santa Cruz because the family went to the beach, and I just was like, honey, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I feel like that we've drifted apart sexually and emotionally and in a lot of ways mentally, and I don't know if this is going to work out. And then the very next day, she mentioned this to me. So come back from the movie theater, and I just like, I'm like, honey, I'm actually going to leave. I'm going to file for a divorce. And so I packed up that night. I didn't have anywhere to go, and so I went to my office, the old podcast studio.
Oh dang!
And I was like, fuck, I don't think I can. For me, I'm like, I was faithful this entire time. I know I'm not going back. I have to figure out how to do this. And there was a girl that I had randomly met at the gym. And I was like, I just texted her, I'm like, hey, what are you doing? She's like, I'm kind of drunk right now. What are you doing?
No.
I'm like, I'm just in my office trying to figure out my life. She's like, you want to come get me? I was like, sure, come on over. And then that was it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I got my blowjob, got my everything that I needed. And I just was like, all right. So, no going back after that. But like, that was like my dive into the deep end of like, what is Ryan's sexuality like? So at that point, I had only been with two people my entire life.
Wow. Okay.
And I didn't know what I didn't know. And I ended up spending close to $50,000 on my sexual education.
Whoa. That's cool.
I hired coaches. I hired a guy that wrote this book called The Best She Ever Had. Literally taught me all the tricks of the trade. Hired another person who used to be in the porn industry, who used to be behind the scenes, like make sure that everything was like proper and stuff like that. Like how to do proper technique, how to get them off every time, how to hold my cum. Cause that was a problem I had also, like why my first wife didn't, you know, sleep with me often. Cause I didn't know what I wasn't doing. I had this premature ejaculation problem. I'm like, oh God, sorry. I'm so sorry. But no one told me that was just round one. You could have multiple rounds. Like, mm-hmm. But that was just like, well, that sucked. And she'd roll over and go to sleep. But like, it's like, that's just round one, like continue with the foreplay and have fun. And then like, you know, go back again at it. So anyway, he taught me how to hold my cum. So almost too much. Cause I was doing, you know, like 30, 40, now that they're 45 like, seconds.
Done.
Yeah. Seriously. But so what, it's so funny you say that because I became emotionally detached.
Oh.
So I could hold it. So like, it was like, come forever.
Like you went like all the way the other way.
I did. Point. And so then I went back and I hired another coach. I'm like, I need to get out of my head.
I overeducated myself. Yeah,
I need to get out of my head and into my body. And then that's when I realized that I had the emotional trauma and the stigmatism from like, you know, religious repression and all of this stuff. And I had to go ahead and like just work with myself and like reconnect with my body. And then that's when I realized, I'm like, shit, there's a lot of healing that can happen here. And that's when I decided, you know, when I finally healed myself, and how I did it was through orgasm. I'm like, holy shit. Orgasm is the body's most powerful, potent way to cleanse itself energetically.
That's hysterical, actually. I probably masturbate 2 times a day, if not more.
Oh, hell yeah. And it opens up a lot of like your cognitive pathways, allows you to get like focus and stuff like that. And this is what I've learned is it's a great way to help heal self-inflicted wounds. But wounds that were created by other people, those wounds leave emotional scars, and the body wants to heal itself naturally. So it gives us these sexual desires. And most people think when they go through a breakup, like, my body's telling me to be sexual, and they go into this hoe phase.
Yeah. And that was like in my 20s.
Yeah.
Like I had a couple of phases where like that was the urge, right?
Yeah.
But now I feel like I've been split up from my husband since like, I think he left in February.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a couple people regularly between that and just didn't work out. But I'm also like in this mental space where I'm like, it's like a shrine.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful thing.
You have to have a line for your shrine.
Mm-hmm. I love that. A line for your shrine.
Like you get all rappy and talk about how it's divine and like you
got. Oh, no. You're talking to the right person here. So like one of the trainings that like I went on is I went and I got like sacred spot massage, like training, like yoni massage. And then I actually found someone that actually does vaginal reflexology. Extremely difficult to find.
Tell me more. What?
So you know the reflexology, right?
Yeah.
So we have reflexology points in our ears and in our toes and our feet and things like that. Well, both the men's penis and the woman's vagina actually have the same thing. So if you think about it, in the womb, this is where all your organs are created from as well. And so it's right, especially in the opening.
It makes sense.
It's all right there. So I can actually feel which organ is being like, you know, which emotion is trapped inside the organ. And so we can like focus on those emotions. And so, yeah. So part of the yoni massage is basically identifying like, okay, what emotions do we have to work with here and what organs are actually affected by it?
That is so cool.
Like anger and your liver and things like
that. So like my acne could be related to my vagina?
More than likely acne probably is a gut issue.
I've been readjusting a lot of probiotics, prebiotics, and all the things.
Goat kefir is probably one of the best things for you.
What's it called?
Goat kefir.
Goat kefir.
Goat kefir, yeah. It's a probiotic. Goat is actually better because it'll be absorbed in the body, and it'll literally clean up acne in adults super fast. Goat
kefir. I got to get this.
Yeah, they have it here. There's a market in town that has it.
Heck yeah.
On the way out of town, you can pick it up for sure.
Going to get some goat kefir.
Yeah, I usually mix it in my smoothie so it doesn't taste as sour.
I was about to say. Yeah. I'm one of those. I'm a very like texture, flavor mm-hmm. sensitive person. I got to like make it taste like chocolate, peanut butter.
Something good, yeah. Mm-hmm. But going back to like, yeah, your sexuality. So yeah, it's very important to like guard that, you know, because that energy that you're actually sharing with the other person is, you want them to make sure that you're actually on the same path energetically with somebody, that they're not just like spilling over into you and you're just like, yes. Oh God. Because now you got to shed that stuff. You're like, how do I get this person out of me?
Exactly. Oh my gosh, yes. Like I feel like there's the world is for me. It's been weird how like opportunities presented itself, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
Like I'm really good.
Yeah. And like
so the photographer, you're like, nah, I'm kind of good guy.
Yeah, it's definitely good on that one. Definitely good on that one. But like then there's other opportunities. Like no, this actually like this feels like right. Like yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do that. This is fun. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's just you know, and that's the thing. Like, so I tell people like, if it's not a fuck yes, then it's a hell no.
Exactly. That yes, I totally like that vibe.
Yes.
If it's not a hell yeah, let's do it. It's like, never mind.
Mm-mm, not for me at all.
Exactly.
I did want to touch base though, because like I it's so funny because you're like I masturbate twice a day, and like that's perfect for self inflicted wounds. And like I get this all the time from women. They're like, well, I should be healed already. I masturbate all the time, and I'm like, that's a beautiful thought process. However, if it's an emotional wound that's caused by somebody else, then what happens is you have to have the heightened sexual emotion created by somebody else as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so what happens is your body naturally wants to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have these emotional wounds. And so the body serves these sexual desires, which most people confuse for like their hoe stage. Like, oh, I'm going to go in this hoe phase and do this. When really what's happening is the sexual desire is telling you like, hey, tap into your sexual desire. Have this experience, but it's not the experience for the physical aspect of it. It's the emotion behind it. Look, I'll give you an example. So for example, if someone has they've been rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Like say that their core wound is like, I was rejected as a child and my mom didn't love me or whatever. Their sexual healing desire would be actually desirability. And so it's not a matter of just like, oh, I feel desired by my partner. It's like my partner has fucking brought me to this desirable feeling and they've heightened it so much like fucking orgasm. Mm-hmm. Like I am coming with this feeling of desirability all over me. And what happens is the orgasm dislodges the trapped emotion of rejection and replaces it with that desirable feeling. Cause now it's completely like basically a reset. Like if you think about like a credit card, if you run a magnet on it, it becomes stripped. It's blank. It's the same thing. So the orgasm is like the magnet that just like wipes it clean so that the new can take place. And so, yeah, you actually need a partner to bring you to that healing. Now, that's not the only way you can heal core wounds or other ways. But I'm also writing a book about it. So they're like, well, how do I find this person? Well, if you're married or you have a partner already, just get the book.
Yeah. And it's a little roadmap.
It shows you exactly how to do it. Like you can do it yourself with your sexual partners. And it's a beautiful thing too, because it's the healing that happens. Like, I never cried during sex until this experience happened to me.
Really?
And I broke down and I wept like a child. I just cried and cried and cried and cried. And it was so healing because it was for the first time that my wound was actually being healed by, you know, a sexual partner instead of actually, you know, creating more damage to me. It was actually the most healing experience. And I was like, fuck. And I felt so complete and so validated after that experience.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I have to sadly say that the only time I've ever experienced crying during sex was a really weird opportunity, but we won't go there.
Oh, no problem at all.
But happy crying during sex sounds very nice.
Oh my God. And my partner would have been here today, but we couldn't find a babysitter, which is funny because she used to do burlesque dancing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. How fun. Send her my way.
I will. Yeah. So she used to do burlesque, but she cries all the time. And it's so healing. And she's just like, my fucking God, I love you. And I'm like, do you? Or do you just love this feeling that I just gave you?
You just love my dick.
You love it, don't you? Which is so funny because now it's to a point like I asked her, I'm like, do you fight with me on purpose so that we can have this healing sex? And she goes, no, that's not what's happening.
Did you forget to put sugar in my coffee on purpose today?
Did you want it? I'm like, all you have to do is ask, honey, you know? So, but anyway, I probably, you know, ramble too much about that, but
no, I think it's great.
This is, you know what I think was really, really interesting that I don't think we talked about was, when you showed up, you're like, hey, I'm sorry if I look a little disheveled. Oh. Why don't you tell the audience what you were doing?
I was like, I'm all sweaty. I was just hooping, man.
She was hula hooping. I love that.
Yes. Yes. It's one of the easiest tools to take with you on the road, honestly, is a hula hoop. It's lightweight. And if I really needed to, I can actually like compact it down into a pretty small little like circle.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's super easy. My wrist's a little sore. I've got some bruises from like.
I couldn't even tell actually.
Like they're actually pretty healed up right now.
Yeah.
Actually, it's surprising. Yesterday, I had a fat one right here.
Oh, God.
But yeah, it's just from throwing it around your hand. And it's fun. Just take the speaker out and kind of, I set up my camera like a nerd. Yeah.
And do you have like a TikTok or like an Instagram that you do? Or?
Yeah, I'll post everything to my TikTok. And okay. It kind of like all flows and funnels through one. Like,
gotcha.
If it's TikTok, then it'll auto post to Instagram and then it'll post to Facebook. And
I need to learn how to do that. I'm so technical, like logically, like, novice.
Yeah, I could help you set it up. It takes it's just time, honestly, like time consuming. But okay. Once it's set up, like it's pretty fluid.
Like I posted one, that like posted another, and then I post to another, and it's like very manual.
And sometimes for some reason I have to do manual as well. I don't know why it doesn't auto. Most of the time it'll do auto. And then from there you can automate things, which is even nicer.
Oh God.
Yeah. And then you're sitting down and you're like scheduling posts.
Oh, that's where I need to get to. That's like, that'd be super fun. Of all the things that you discuss that you do, what is your absolute like baby that you love the most? Like if you had to only choose one and you would never get sick and tired of it, what would it be?
I love producing events and shows. I know that's very general.
No, no, not at all.
But I love being a producer, director. And
like, yeah, yeah. You're a big picture.
I don't mind being a leading star. Right. I'm good at it. I'm good at handling limelight. But I think I really, really like pulling the whole thing together.
Got it. Yeah. So that's interesting, you know, and I think that goes so unnoticed with so many people because you're in charge of the entire mood and emotional setting for the people as they come. Like you set the frame.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's such a huge thing that I think most people miss. They walk in and they like, this was an amazing show. And they naturally want to attribute it to the performers. when really it's like, no, actually the production, the producer is the one who held everything together for you so that it could be what you experienced.
Yes, it is. It really is. And like that hub person getting all the little pieces or keeping all the little pieces connected is just, it's everything. I've been really blessed, honestly. The club put on their first show 5 months ago without me.
Oh, wow.
Because I had an opportunity to go to Arcata and check out a venue over there for another show and everything.
So yeah.
We've got those little we've got those people, those places.
But you've already set it up so it runs like a smooth, like well-oiled machine though.
Yep.
Yeah. So you've already
created the bones.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's such a beautiful experience. If someone ever wanted to hire you out, like say like they have like a burlesque studio and they're like, we're kind of like, clunky and it's not working the way that it is that we want it to. Is that something that you actually do? Like you do like consulting work?
I could absolutely do that. I would even say I do that
in a
fashion now. Like I have these dancers that are where I'm from and like I help them create things sometimes. We all come together and kind of like constructive criticism time. We all do that. And then I also offer like individual consulting if people do want to like just start a solo, if they want to create a solo from the ground up.
That's interesting. What kind of place, if someone wanted to start from like the ground up, like what kind of place would they need? Does it have to be like a actual like theater with like a stage and things like that? Or like, for example, like this location here where we have like a little raised platform and like
this is perfect.
Is it really?
This is perfect.
Huh.
You can throw a fabulous show in this little space right here.
That's interesting because we have the chairs and everything for that.
No, it's great. You get a temporary like cocktail wine and bar, wine and beer for the night. That's where you make your money, honestly, is you get your wine and beer for the night. And then really you just need 4 to 5 entertainers with 2 acts each. And that's 10. That's a 10 act show right there.
For reals?
Mm-hmm.
Shit, we may have to do something here.
We travel.
No, I'm seriously like that would be a beautiful thing, I think, for this community.
We'd be so down. And we do all kinds of themes.
Do we have to be a certain distance from like certain locations, like schools and things like that? Or if it's after hours, does it matter?
Typically, you want to have a cabaret license.
A cabaret license?
You want to have a cabaret license.
What if your license, does your license travel?
So I don't actually need any kind of special licensing.
Okay.
What I am is where each performer is their own independently contracted
like perfect. Okay.
Business.
Yeah.
So I just agent everybody.
Basically. I gotcha.
And the Reading Burlesque Club is technically a sole proprietorship. It's just like a one, technically it's me. And then
I guess what I'm saying is like, if we had like a production studio that, leased this space here for the evening, because it's a venue, basically it's like a community center, and like they rented the hall for the evening.
If it's just a once in a while thing,
you really don't
need a ton of like special bells and whistles. The venue has to be licensed for theater and cabaret because there is a special licensing for like theater.
Got it.
And that's where we fall very lightly under is theater.
Is theater. Cabaret. Okay.
Because you have like things like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Have you ever seen that?
I have, yes.
I mean, it doesn't get much closer to burlesque
than right, Rocky, yeah, for sure.
If anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they're having fake sex on stage, you know? And so it's very much theater related
okay.
as far as what we do. And so it's that cabaret theater licensing
okay.
is what the venues need.
So is that a special license? Is it called cabaret theater or just regular theater?
I think it's cabaret. I want to say it's a cabaret.
How does someone go about getting that?
I think it's you go to your city, just where you get like a business license.
Start
inquiring over there.
Because I'm interested in that because like I look at so here in Yuba City, in Marysville, there's an adult entertainment show.
Love it.
Club. But they're in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And because the city wouldn't allow for it. And here we are, we're in the city here. And so I'm wondering if the city would allow for a license like that.
Basically, the way that I would try and swing it would first open it up for the bar, the beer and wine.
Okay.
First do that, establish the venue as its venue.
It is. It's like it's weddings, it's quinceañeras, it's birthday parties, it's all of that.
And then I would just do speakeasy.
Okay.
There's another club in, they go all over. It's Chico to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And they're called Heel-esque.
Okay.
It's Heel-esque club.
Yeah.
And Gypsy Day runs that.
Yeah.
And they run on a speakeasy basis and they have regular shows.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, that's, so when I had the other office, I had a studio as well. And I gave classes, but the classes were educational. And so I never even thought about getting a license, but now that I have this location here and we have the sexual playground with all of the toys and things like that, and And I'm doing live demonstrations, and I'm showing you know, couples and individuals, like, hey, this is another way for you to either enhance your sexual life, or if there's trauma, to be trauma informed, like, hey, this is actually how you can use your body as a way to release the trapped trauma. And so it's very educational based, but I mean, I never really thought that, like, oh, I would need a license to do something like that.
Yeah, but, it's crazy, honestly. I mean, you know, the
but I'm thinking, like,
their money.
Of course, yeah, city always wants their money. Yes, they always want their money. But I'm thinking also, though, if I open it up with as a speakeasy with, like, hey, we're going to have, like, maybe entertainment in between these classes and selling beer and wine, like, I could fucking, we can make a lot of money.
You can, honestly. And when people are vibing, they drink.
100%. And it's also going to, I never thought about this too, but it also would, like, lower their inhibitions to, like, yeah, I'll be a volunteer. Yeah, you know, show me what a flog. Yeah, I'd like to be flogged.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it really helps people just kind of chill out, like,
you wanna
whip
me?
Their inner voice that's always like, oh, I don't want to be the weird person. It's like, no, we're all here to be weird.
Oh, we are. Yeah.
We're all
for
here
sure
to be weird today, you guys.
I actually think I'm going to have to bring some of your girls down. Well, definitely, yes. I definitely want to do that video.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, we got to do that. That'll be really cool.
That'll
be cool.
Yeah, that would be beautiful. But definitely have your travelers come down here, because you may even, I don't know. I'm just, this venue is here for the community. So there may even be some women here in the community that are like, oh my God, I want to do that.
No, I have. So my friend Nico Miracle that I was staying with last night, actually, she does sound bath healing.
And she's
I need some, she's like, I need venues and I need, like, things and places to do this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it'd be great to connect you guys.
Yeah, come on up here. So my wife does breath work. And I do sound bath as well.
Perfect.
I have the Tibetan bowls, but I also use tuning forks.
Okay.
And so I have tuning forks that are tuned to each chakra. And so I actually do tunings that way. And it's such a beautiful healing process.
I have to connect you too, because she's so, this is her vibe.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Her vibe.
So yeah, whenever I'm working with someone, because after you heal trauma, it's like, okay, how do I, like, realign the energies? Mm-hmm. Tuning forks is the way to do it. And God,
sound is powerful.
Sound is amazing. Like, well, we're all vibrational beings as it is. Mm-hmm. And so if you can just, you know, harmonize people and just go ahead and tune them up, then yeah.
Tune them up. I love it.
That's what it is. So I get people that,
like, send me to the auto shop.
Gotta get my tune up. Well, it's crazy, because I have people that, like, all the time, like, hey, you know, I'm doing fantastic. Like, my sex life was amazing. I was with a couple of guys that kind of, like, you know, just didn't do me right kind of thing, but I'm still learning. Can you tune me up? Can I come in for a tune up? I'm like, yeah, come on.
Right. I feel like I'm slowly leaning sideways again.
Oh, you're good. Anyway, this has been such a beautiful interview. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I can literally talk for days. It's almost a dangerous thing. It's almost a dangerous thing that I can talk for forever.
No, that's a beautiful, it just, you know, it's a testament to your experience that you have.
Thank you. No, I mean, like, a little bit of everything so far. Ask Nicole stuff and mermaids and burlesque and sing, and I got to give you some princess earlier.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So go ahead and let the audience know if they want to get back a hold of you. What's the best way for them to do that?
They could email me at asknicole@gmail.com. That's asknicole@gmail.com. Our phone line is 530-515-6536.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Fire dancers, burlesque, and all the weird things.
Anything, all your entertainment needs all in one. Well, you've been a wonderful guest. I'm glad that you came into the studio today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was amazing timing.
Yeah, it was. Thank you so much.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Topless Talk. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. For more information or to connect with Ryan, check him out on Instagram @Topless Talk. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.